Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner,
episode 163, my lady love.
Wait, is it 63 or 62?
It's 163.
I don't know where I'm at. Who am I? My name is Aneke. What year is this? What's going on?
Want to go again?
No, we're doing this.
Okay. Oh yeah. This is how 163 starts. Never forget.
Never forget.
Well, what are we doing this week?
Oh man, I am going to be talking about black people in horror movies and to use them to snuggle up to your boo thing.
Nothing's more scary than January.
Why was that like the perfect slogan? That was perfect. We're also talking about how I guessed it on Judge John Hodgman.
Ooh, yes.
That and was you had
your
fun.
You had your baby shower, all kinds
I
of
did.
Stuff happening. You've been on the Facebooks.
I've been trolling.
She's been trolling.
I've been trolling. I've been trolling.
Trolling all up in them. And she's been trolling, and it might probably have something to do with Kamala Harris's bid for president. And
yes.
Just the optics of what happens to black women when they're out and about. Also want to talk to you about the controversy around the Women's March. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I haven't, so I'm ready to hear about it, yeah.
We're going to talk into that. And then, you know what, Aneke, you know, before the election cycle kicks off, I've got some tips for you. Not just you, but you and the listeners.
Literally, specifically me. I need these tips.
Well, I got you covered of how we can stay sane in this election cycle 2020 so we do not repeat the mistakes of 2016.
Amen to that. So we got Grab Bag Palooza Fun Time Jamboree.
Get your tambourine out because we getting into it. Bang, 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 bang. Wow. I hope we can just edit all those sounds on top of each other.
I'm speechless. I think we need to go into the show.
Sure, let me get my music.
Literally our theme music playing behind this right now.
Oh yeah, I forgot we already have music.
I'm into the jazz. Thank you.
You know what? In honor of Sade turning 60, I thought we...
And looking amazing.
Like, doing it up. Like, if only. If only. Like, what is her secrets? Jazz.
Probably water and sleep and relaxing music.
Probably. See the wonders that it does? We can all take a page out of her book. I do have a confession to make.
Yes.
Is it?
What, these are your confessions.
Is it Sade or Sade?
Isn't it Sade?
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
But where does the H come in now that I'm saying it?
That is always my confusion. Like
Sade.
I was in a Lyft the other day, and I think I accidentally, to my black Lyft driver, because I saw the name, and I was like, oh, yeah, Sade. And I was like, oh, no, I said it wrong.
What did he say?
You know what? He wanted that 5-star rating, so he didn't say nothing. He was like, I'm going to let that slide, black man. I'm going to let that slide. But it's embarrassing.
I don't know. Is Sade like, or Sade?
See?
Is that a black thing? Like, is she considered like purely black people music? I don't know because I'm a black woman. So.
Any white person who was down with Sade, I'm like, It's like the.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like the white people who know Anita Baker. But she's.
I was just going to say she's in the same camp is she in the same camp as Anita Baker?
But a little bit higher. Like, I think she's a little bit more prominently known than Anita Baker. Like slightly a bit.
Yeah.
So
she's cooler than Anita Baker. I mean, no offense to Anita Baker.
Our longtime listener, Anita Baker, just officially checked out. She was gonna come on for our Max Fun Drive. She was gonna help host. And she out now.
I mean, Anita Baker, I respect
we
you.
Love you.
We love you, but you can admit yourself.
She's like,
Sade
you know
is
what?
Cooler
She's
than
like,
you.
Which is like,
no. See, now you're gonna.
She's like,
now we're up in the game. Now we're making fun of her.
She's like, now,
you know what? You're right, y'all. You're right.
Oh my God, the smooth singing. Anita Baker looks good too because she drinks a lot of water, gets a lot of rest, and sings that smooth jazz.
It just vibrates. I think it like vibrates your soul, your essence, all that shit.
I think so.
Mm. You were a busy queen, Mama B, this past weekend.
So I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I'm hella pregnant.
You are hella preggers. Hella preggers, and just doing all these things, like just laying down.
Okay, so we had a Max Fun crossover.
Crossing over.
We were fucking lucky enough to be, well, I mean, I was, you live in New York, so yeah, I'm sorry. I was.
But your victory is my victory. That's both of us on those Fidelis ads.
Yes. Okay, so I was invited to be a guest on the live recording of the podcast of the Judge John Hodgman show.
Congratulations. Tell me all the things. Were you nasty?
It was at the Castro Theater.
Oh, you were at the Castro Theater? Ooh.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's
packed
fun.
House.
Yes. Yeah,
line around the corner.
Yes. To see you.
Well,
to see
pregnant
Aneke.
Judge John Hodgman.
Featuring Aneke.
For about 20 minutes. But it worked.
Amazing.
It was good.
Hey,
I helped with some of the judgments that they had. I know, it's true. It's longer than 10. Double 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I helped with some of the judgments, promoted Minority Corner, got a couple of Minority Corner fans out there that had a smattering of claps, and then I chastised the audience that they needed more black friends and needed to listen to the show.
Way to go. We will chastise you into listening to the show, so welcome to all of you who got chastised to listen to the show. Welcome.
If you are now listening because you came to the San Francisco Judge John Hodgman show, welcome.
Welcome.
This is Minority Corner.
Give us a tweet out or a shout out. Let us know that you're here and you're listening.
It was great. I enjoyed myself. It was fun. Got to hang out with Jesse Thorne.
Yay.
John Hodgman.
Awesome.
They were great people. Shout out to Jennifer Marmon, who is the producer who got me on the show.
Yay.
It was a fun, good time. I waddled out there. I did a kick in the air.
Whoa.
I don't know how I managed to do that, but I did. I felt spry on that stage.
The energy was just giving you life. You know what that is?
Yeah.
You also might have a little showbiz baby in the belly. Baby was like, ooh, that's the audience. Give him a show,
but
mama.
You know what?
Give him a show.
Promptly fell down on the street
afterwards. Oh, God. Okay. Baby's first dance.
Scraped my knee. Got a blood blister on my finger.
Oh, damn. Oh, no. You're okay, though. You and baby are okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. Baby's fine. Full on Amelia Bedelia did. I dropped my phone and everything. I think somebody probably thought I was drunk. Look at that drunk pregnant lady where I was just like, it was a mess. I think I even screamed like that, too.
Oh. I like just adding sound effects to everything that you're doing. It just makes me feel like very morning radio.
No, it's good. It's like, shock jock.
Yeah. Woo-woo-ga.
Went directly to a birthday party afterwards, which was two blocks away, so it worked
convenient.
Out perfectly.
And I love it because you get to show up as like, one, I'm pregnant and fabulous, two, I just was, you know, doing a little show at the Castro Theater, guesting.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Basically.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was nuts.
Amazing.
Then had a baby shower the next day.
Yay! Congrats. How did it go? Did you get showered with love?
I was showered with so much love. My friends fucking pulled it off, including you, James, from across the fucking country.
What?
Helping out my baby shower team.
Yeah,
very
there's
different.
A full team. It takes a village, because you know what, if you watch Scandal, you know how like when Millie had a baby, it was called America's Baby. This is the Bay Area's baby. Okay, so,
so
all
nice.
Of the Bay Area was out, and all it took a committee of people in the Bay Area and even outside of the Bay Area, me across the country, to help put this thing together
across the fucking country. It was such a good time.
That reminds me, shout out to Aneke.
What did I do?
Because I got home, or my roommate delivered, there was a beautiful care package delivered to me.
Oh, you got the package?
Good. Thank you.
I almost asked you before we started recording, but I didn't want to be a bitch about it.
It is so sweet. I almost, y'all know how I be up in my feelings, and I'm like, you know, I'm just a gay version of Drake. I don't. What is a kick? All of my feelings.
Kiki, do you hear me?
And I'd be up on the hotline bling. And I almost just was in tears. It was such a beautiful gift, y'all. It was like a mom care package. So the mama spirit is in you. But it had like. It was just all these little like beautiful little things. Oh, one of my favorite things that you gave me. It was a war.
Well, one thing.
The worry.
One thing you can't say. Okay, good.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. The worry notebook. That was so beautiful and so me.
Okay, good. Because I used to collect worry dolls and you put them under your pillow to take away the worries. And on the book, you can write your worries or your predictions or whatever. And it's, you know, I think it looks kind of good.
It's super cute. And I love a gratitude journal. I love a worry journal. I love a visualization journal. Just give me the journals. So it was perfect. Good. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's the least I could do for you helping out with my baby shower. I had to do something. Fuck. Just, I'm not an asshole.
See how the world works when you give and then I give and we just giving. This is the real
just
giving
keep
tree.
On get, it's a circle of give.
It's a circle of give. It is a circle of give. Well, I'm so glad that you had such an action-packed, wonderful, beautiful weekend.
Thank you. You know what isn't giving, though?
What?
Facebook.
Oh, why? I wonder why you would mention that. Anything interesting happen for you on the Facebooks lately, Aneke?
I be trolling.
Oh, man.
I be trolling on your page 10 minutes before we started recording. Can't help myself.
I was like getting the notes together for the show, and then it was like, Aneke liked your post. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I had no idea that there was a barrage of back and forth between Aneke and a high school, a friend of mine, who I went to the Janet Jackson concert with back when I was 16. Yeah.
Oh, that's why he pulled out in his last message about how much he knows you. But you know what?
Yeah.
This is unusual behavior for me, it's James.
You do not engage.
I don't.
You've got the audio files to prove it of you talking about how you don't engage.
I don't. And I went through this before because I would say like 5 years ago, I would engage, and it got me to a point where I was in the middle of a movie, trying to watch the movie, going back and forth with somebody that we went to college with, and I was like, this has reached a point of insanity, so I completely stopped it, cut it out.
Snaps to you, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result, and you were like, you know what, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to change something of my behavior, so good job.
I am sane. Yeah. Thank you.
What?
But it came back with a vengeance.
It happens. Sometimes we relapse. Oh, sometimes Facebook can get us. But what? But explain to the kids what got you to relapse. I think it's not just like anything. Okay. It wasn't like you were like arguing over like Cardi B.
This is a lesson.
Yeah.
This is a lesson that we all need to learn about, because I think especially in this time and age, we are triggered by a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, trigger is a real thing. And a lot of people have been making fun of trigger warning, blah, blah, blah. Yes, we all get triggered by shit. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to acknowledge this.
Yes.
So... A little announcement came out over the weekend. Kamala Harris announced that she was going to be putting her bid in for the 2020 presidential
run. On Martin Luther King's birthday, which I think was very intentional as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And while I have always pumped Kamala Harris, I love what she does. I love the anti-lynching bill that she did. I love that she's trying to pass the Black maternal mortality bill.
Yes, and that's huge on her radar. And I feel like she's a great example. Sorry to just jump right in here, but I just want to point out that she's a great example of why it's important to have diversity in our Congress people,
exactly.
Because she's
talking about it.
No one else was talking about it. They weren't even aware of it, but she has made it at the forefront. You know, I watched The View, and she was on The View. She was talking about it and bringing that up, and that I don't know there was another congressperson who was going to take that up if it wasn't for this woman of color stepping in there to do it.
Thank you. Exactly. Which is why I'm excited.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fool. I'm not blindly excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to also look at her other... I know that she has problems with the prison industrial complex.
Yep.
And she was a prosecutor.
Sure.
And Black Lives. There's a lot of questions with it. But I think that that's something that can be handled...
later.
Gracefully.
Yeah. And also, like, she... Like, I don't understand, like, how we have to, like, attack someone. She just announced... And everyone's already,
yes,
like, picking her apart. There's time for,
yes,
that, y'all. This, like, just started.
Yes.
This is a point to... Sorry, I'm just getting so excited.
See? That's what happened to Neke.
I can't even...
But before even your post came out, before this happened, she announced... And I was on Twitter, minding my damn business,
looking at
scary ass posts that people post for some reason. Fucking this snake. BBC News posted this snake that had 500 ticks on it, and it has been haunting my dreams.
Oh God, oh no.
But anyways, I was scrolling through trying to rid myself of that image.
Then something else popped up.
Yeah, Racialicious, which is a blog that I sometimes quote for this podcast,
mm-hmm,
they decided to retweet this other podcaster, who I'm not going to name because I don't want to heat, from this person, but he's also an Oakland podcaster, and he wrote this long, extensive thread against Kamala Harris, and basically how and why she is a terrible, horrible, no good person.
God.
And he's a Black man. Mm. And that made me mad.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, one, Trump is our fucking president right now, who's
right,
literally holding our government hostage.
Mm-hmm.
There are racist teens,
mm-hmm,
that are harassing Native American Vietnam veteran,
mm-hmm,
elders.
Mm-hmm.
There is a president who is spelling burgers wrong on Twitter. There is shit going on.
And just
literally
feeding people burgers when they come over to the White House.
Like, what is that? Cold burgers.
And you know most of them people were Black.
Yes.
Because they were athletes, and I'm sorry, but those college campuses, those college teams, like, get all this money off,
yes,
of the blood, sweat,
black
tears,
bodies,
and work of Black bodies, and then showing up to the White House feeding them burgers.
Exactly. So, and so you're mad about this when there's all this other shit going on, and you're railing against this Black woman who's put her bid in, who is a Democrat.
And trying to make the country a better place.
Thank you. So that pissed me off. And then on top of it, when people were asking for sources, this guy had the nerve to be like, this people acting like Twitter's an MLA format essay needing sources, which, you know, as a librarian, pisses me the fuck off. Because one, MLA is just a style.
Ooh,
and two, all essays and all facts that you're presenting need to have sources. So don't try and put that fucking education as dumb shit out there.
Library's
so
open.
I'm mad.
Yes.
I went to bed mad, angry, thinking about that fucking snake and the ticks, and also that guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. So there's already just some residual anger and feeling left over from. And you know what? And on your MLK day of all days, too.
I should have been celebrating my Blackness and been happy.
Yeah.
But instead, I felt angry. Then I go on Facebook trying to rid myself of those fucking tick snake and then that guy. Mm. And then also now I see a picture of a guy that has this condition called tree hands.
Ooh.
And I feel bad for him,
yeah,
because his hands look like trees because people decide to post these things.
See, and then you're just caught up in a web of emotions and feelings and things.
And then I see your post.
Yeah.
Which isn't even a celebration. All you are is saying, look who's running.
That's all I did. All I did was say, and I said, look who's running. I called this back into the day after the election because I was on her email list and I saw her speech that she gave. And I called it the day after the election and saying she ran. And all these people started coming out of the woodwork of like shaking their finger. Da, da, da.
Yes. Not even like coming out of woodwork. Straight up being like, I don't like her.
Or like, oh, what
Elizabeth Warren.
The first comment is actually just a link to Elizabeth Warren's like website,
which is rude. Like, why can't we celebrate both? Why does it have to be either or? Yeah. I'm happy for Elizabeth Warren and I'm happy for Kamala Harris.
Well, and that's what I've kind of been bringing up too. And I'm definitely gonna talk more in depth about this in my corner. Is that I actually just find I think we have to lesson from 2016 is that this is actually like it's exciting. Like, I feel like everybody. Yes. My spiritual guru, Marianne Williamson, is running. I'm excited about that. And she's making her announcement on the 28th of January. And there's just so many great people that are running. We should all be excited. This is not a time for us to start dividing and tearing each other down. It's a time for us to just be excited. It's a party. This should feel like a fucking celebration party. And let's have some conversations. And the best is going to rise to the top. Like, that's what it should be. It should not be time to attack each other, because that did not go well for us the last time when we did that in 2016.
Amen. And if you would look at my comments, which I'm sure your Facebook friends thought I'm attacking them, I am merely saying, why are we attacking Kamala Harris?
Oh, yeah.
Let her be. Let it be. Stay on your page.
Yeah.
You know? But of course it comes off angry. Of course I'm capitalizing everything because
There were some caps. But you did a key window. What I love, unabashedly uncaring. You're like, yeah, I know my caps is on.
Yes.
I want you to know.
It was very much purpose.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got challenged in certain ways that I don't like. Getting challenged, so it pushed me even further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whataboutism came rearing its ugly little head again.
But what about Condoleezza Rice, if she were to...
What about Clarence Thomas? What about Condoleezza Rice? Which is a distraction. It's a distraction tactic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just say it.
And I will also say this, though, too. Like, if a black conservative woman were running for president, I would give pause and be like, go ahead, girl. Okay, do your thing. Like, I can I can see the, like, wow, that must be so hard for her as a black woman to, you know, step up. And she's got to put her family through this whole entire experience because she's believing in something. And let me hear what she has to say. Like, I applaud anybody who is not a straight white man and is gonna run. Like, I'm gonna give you some snaps.
Yeah, let's think about for a minute that black women were literally not thought about when the Constitution was written.
Yep.
We were literally not thought about when black people got the vote. So
you and I both we have people within our family, black women within our family, who were not born with the right to vote. So the fact that a black woman is running for president, and it's not a joke, she's one of the front runners, she's being incredibly taken seriously, that's big. And I think no matter who you are, what side of the political spectrum you fall on, take a moment and just be like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's amazing. Look where we are. That's a celebration moment.
Exactly. And the fact that I keep seeing a lot of white women, a lot of unfortunately gay white men, and a lot of black straight men really rallying against Kamala Harris is really disappointing to me, because it shows how... I just feel like people are drawn to the negativity against black women.
Of course, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I don't want to say, like, and it kind of reminds me of something. There's a similar thing that's happening with another black woman, not a similar thing. So there's a whole entire women's march controversy that's also happening.
Tell me about it.
Okay. And so this one, like, I was really trying to hear all the facts before I was going to lay down any sort of opinion or thought. And so Tamika Mallory, who she's one of the originators of the Women's March that was happening.
Yes.
And so this year, the Women's March has had a lot of controversy. And so Tamika Mallory, a little backstory, she is kind of like a protege of Al Sharpton. So she's been sort of in the political game since she was like 13, 15 years old. And she's one of the founders of like the Women's March. And last year she went to this Founders Day thing where Louis Farrakhan was being recognized and honored. And excuse me, she had a picture with him and wrote that he was the GOAT, which I just found out what that meant. greatest of all
greatest
time.
Greatest of all time. Mm-hmm.
Which
you gotta
is,
work with the kids.
I didn't find out until all this controversy happened. And I didn't, you know what, I didn't know about this controversy until I was watching The View and she was on. See, you gotta watch That View.
They're helping you out.
They are. I'm staying abreast to all the topics. And so she was on The View and it was a very spirited debate. And so essentially what had happened is that, you know, mm-hmm. she was being called to task for her comment that Louis Farrakhan is the greatest of all time. And because Louis Farrakhan, who is one of, he's part of the Nation of Islam and is a very radical member of the Nation of Islam, if I can say, and has a lot of...
you can definitely say he's...
He's got a lot of, he's said a lot of anti-Semitic stuff, a lot of anti-LGBT stuff. And so that is raising a lot of flags because for the Women's March, that is not, they're a very inclusive organization for equality amongst, you know.
I mean, it took them some time, but they got there.
Right. And but at the same time, like, I'm like, wow, this is exciting that, you know, that there is a black woman who is a part of this, you know, leading this movement and whatnot. And so essentially, she was being taken to task for, and then there are other comments that apparently her and some other women who are part of the organization were maybe saying some anti-Semitic stuff. That they were saying when the organization was first starting, which is also weird when you're like, hey, let's all get together. Mean stuff
about
Jews.
Yeah, but then I'm gonna say some hate.
Right. Yeah. So but you know what I say? Like I say, like if you get a chance, her interview on The View is very interesting because she'll say something and I'll be like, ooh, okay, I see where you're coming from. But then Meghan McCain will challenge her on something. I'll be like, oh, okay, you know what? I do see what you're saying. Or Sunny will challenge her on something. You're like, oh, I do see that point too. So it's
I trust Sunny more.
But Sunny's on the Sunny was challenging her as well. Like Sunny wasn't.
That's
like,
what I mean. I trust Sunny's challenging over Meghan McCain.
Well, but you know, but one of the things was like, why wouldn't one of the things that Meghan McCain had said, like, why wouldn't Tamika Mallory like denounce the comments of Louis Farrakhan? And she just won it.
I'll go with Meghan on that.
And she won it. But then it's so interesting. This is where it gets so interesting because it's like I'm literally like a ping pong ball, Aneke.
Yeah.
Because then I read this article on The Root, and they were talking about it, and it's like, you know, why is Tamika Mallory having to hold, again, a black woman is being connected to something that some other man did. Like, why is she having, so then there's, or also that, but then it is also difficult.
That's a good point.
It's so fucking crazy because, but then at the same time, I also look at it as like, but you are a leader of a movement and a group that is about intersectionality. Right.
And
so,
why are you aligning yourself with that guy?
Exactly. But then it's the thing is that part of her organization and Louis Farrakhan's organization want the same thing for these black men who, it's sort of the recidivism of when they're released from prison. The Nation of Islam has done a lot of great work for black men who have been released from prison. And what do they do now? And the Nation of Islam has become, they've done a lot of great work. So it's all so fucking messy and complicated. Here's my
it's
one
rough, man.
But here is my one takeaway that I will say. And that there are black women who are like, we don't want Tamika Mallory to step down. But then there are some black women who are like, no, we do want her to step down. And so... And so one thing that I will say, and though here's my thing, and it's very complicated, but I think that I was disappointed that Tamika Mallory did not step down because so many organizations started pulling out of the Women's March. There was the DNC pulled out. I forget the name of it, but the Human Rights Campaign, the Poverty Law Center, Emily's List, Center for American Progressive and Amnesty International pulled out because of her, and some of the one or two other members are asking to step down as well, didn't it? And so to me, what is coming across is it looks like it's ego. It's like, girl,
yeah, it's totally
you,
ego.
You have to, the movement is bigger than you, and whether, and I understand where she is coming from, and I do get that. But it's like, you've got to step aside. And so I was disappointed that that didn't happen. It's a very complicated and a messy fucking situation and thing. And it also just goes to show like how hard it is for us progressives and Democrats because like we have to cross our T's and dot our I's. Like we
I know.
It's very hard.
It's like fucking annoying because, I mean, we hold ourselves up to these standards.
It's I know. It's, we did it.
It's us. We're eating our own tail. Whereas like the Republicans and conservatives are like, yeah, you're a piece of shit, but we still love you.
Yep.
Like,
they will hold. They will go down with the ship with someone
will.
As crazy as they are. They're like, no. Well,
they are united.
Like, but he's a Republican. Whereas, it's interesting.
I get it. We want the best for everybody.
It's really interesting because I think the morality high ground has changed. I feel like the Republican Party used to be the place of the morality high ground, but that's gone out the window with Trump. Out the window with Trump. And so now with us, because we are so progressive and so trying to be an umbrella that's safe for everybody, it makes our job really, we've got a hard job.
It's so true. You have like struck a really interesting point, because conservative used to mean like, oh, you hold to these standards, you do this thing, you hold up the blah blah blah, mm-hmm. you can't be, you know, freak flagging it out there on the street. Mm-mm. Whereas now we're like, one, we don't consider it a freak flag when you're just expressing yourself out in the world. So we're kind of like, we want to be inclusive, which is the opposite of that, you know. And to be inclusive, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. Mm-hmm. And that has, in a sense, which I love and I will always do, and I'll always challenge myself to be that way. I do think that we need to, in order for our liberal and progressive politics to survive, we need to have a little bit more leeway with ourselves.
Agree.
Room to grow,
people,
room to understand.
Yes. People are human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to grow on different things. And so it's like, and I think, and I get it. I think the movement needed, like, I think we've become so reactionary and so, you know, pitchforky and torchy. And, you know, and I don't try to, and I think that we could all sort of stand to just sort of listen a little bit more in the movement. And it's hard because look what happened with, what was it, Barney? Because we hold the higher ground. Like was it Barney Frank? Al Franken.
I don't know.
Al Franken? The guy the senator who was asked to step down.
Oh, senator who was a comedian, Al Franken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we didn't want to be like Trump. We was like, there wasn't even like an investigation or anything that happened. Like, he was asked to step down by Kirsten Gillibrand, who's also running for president. Look at all these ladies. That's amazing.
Which is great.
Amazing.
I do have to point out that I think we need to, as progressives, we need to look at who we're challenging, though, too. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a greater challenge to certain people.
Yeah.
Then other
circling
people.
Circling it back. And that's the thing, too, where I had to really give pause before I was going to be like, ooh, Tamika Ballard, you need to step down. I was like, this is a black woman. I need to check a lot of stuff because even, you know, do I have bias against, like, no, I don't have bias against black women. I have bias for black women. They can almost do no wrong in my book.
Right.
So I need to challenge that. So, but I, like, I will always hold that flag out of support even longer than most probably will, because I know it's so not given to them.
Thank you, James. All the snaps. I feel the same exact way. And I feel the same way about, you know, like, any LGBT member of color.
Mm-hmm. Agree, yeah.
Same exact way. Any trans person of color.
Right.
And trans person in general, let's just be honest, because there's a lot of shit that's going down in our society.
Yeah.
So, like, I will favor, you know, like,
because you, like, it's sometimes like, you know what, Don Lemon says something crazy. I'm like, okay, Don Lemon. But then he says some really great, amazing things, too, that I'm like, that's my Don Lemon.
Don Lemon is, everybody's really amazed with him. He's like turning a page.
I know. He's really a great example of, like, let people grow and evolve. That we have to give them that space to.
Give them space to grow.
You can say, hey,
give them space to
take a look at this. And then give them that space too.
Right.
Well, we have been,
that was
chitty chat time.
Chitty chat bang bang.
Chitty chat bang bang. And now, where are we going to?
We're going to my corner, where we're going to change it up completely.
Okay. Switching all the gears.
We're going to talk about black people in horror movies.
Okay. All right. Let's go take it. I'm already scared. I'm shaking like a ghost.
Yeah. Are you going to survive? Yes, you will.
Okay, good. Because we usually don't.
Because it's black people being in it now.
Yep.
Okay.
We get murdered.
No.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the host of
Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons.
Every episode, we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright.
I got a D minus, I passed!
And we've also had people that are on the Max Fun Network already.
We've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show.
I was just struck by how sharp the writing is. I mean, that's no surprise because it's The Simpsons, but I mean, like, you can't say that about a lot of TV shows, particularly ones that at that point had been on the air for 14 years.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, smell you later.
Oh. Ooh. Wow, good job. We did not
nice.
Even plan that. We both just... We were like, scary. What's scary? Ghost sounds. And you know what? Sometimes ghosts... I went to go see if Bill Street could talk, and it looked like there... Well, this won't make any sense. But the joke and reference was there was these two broken seats. We're in this Harlem theater that kind of smells weird.
Oh,
and,
fun.
Two of the seats were broken, and so they put white sheets on them, and then it just made us think of like...
Oh, like ghost sheets.
Yeah, like ghost seats. But every time I see like a ghost something covered up, I just think KKK, so I get extra scared.
Well, I feel like if it's rounded, then it's not racist.
Mm,
if it's pointed,
you better fix
run
it.
Away.
That's a good reference point. So if you're out trick-or-treating, if it's a rounded head ghost, you're fine.
You're
if it's
A-okay.
Pointed, run away.
Run away.
Yeah, get out of there.
Okay, so I found this article in Vulture before they cut me off and I couldn't log back
on. Did you get your quota? You hit your quota. You hit your quota for the month. I don't even know when, like, I don't know how many it is.
I think it's arbitrary.
Is it for the month or is it by like my 30 days? Is it different than your 30
knows?
Days? So then what you can do is you can look on, your phone for a bit until they get you there and then look at your Google Chrome. Then look at your Google Chrome.
Then
get
I
your
switch
Safari.
To Firefox.
Oh, damn. I didn't. Yeah. Okay, you got the Firefox. And then you could probably go incognito to get some out of that too.
And you know what? I don't feel bad.
No, don't. I feel like I have to ration it out. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not going to read this, you know, review of How to Get Away with Murder.
I don't care. I read it all. I just use all my outlets that I have.
Fix it, Vulture, because...
God damn it.
We go to you, but we're going to have to stop if you keep all this mess up.
Well, I'm using you today for my corner. And everybody's really excited about Jordan Peele. I'm really excited about Jordan Peele because his breakout hit with Get Out was excellent. He's doing Twilight Zone. He's doing another TV show.
You know that Spike Lee gave him props. The reason why Spike Lee was even able to do Black Klansman was because of Jordan. Again, guess where I got this scoop from?
Vulture.
The View.
Oh.
My second news source. But
you're
I like the bees. I
you're
love the bees. He was on The View on MLK Day. And they had asked, they were like, how did this movie get made? And he's like, Jordan Peele. He was like, with that success of Get Out, Jordan Peele has all this like production clout and had called up Spike Lee and was like, he said the premise in like six words. It was like, black man infiltrates the KKK. And he was like, I'm in.
That's so awesome. I love it. See, Jordan Lee is doing a lot for the genre, but one of the main genres that he's really dabbling in is kind of thriller horror, which is something that black people haven't really been in charge of, I would say.
Yeah. And he's doing that moon movie Us, which is coming out and looks creepy as fuck with Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, my future husband.
Yeah. I mean, I would really work on that, James, because I would.
I think
love
I'm pretty
wedding.
Sure my mom was trying to ship me with one of the people I was interviewing, and I'm pretty sure it was him. She was like, "Oh, I thought you guys were really hitting it off." She didn't say which
I'll
one.
I'll light that
but
candle.
I
believe it. I feel like you guys had a thing going on, and I don't. You know,
you saw it. You saw
He's
the chemistry.
Cute.
He is cute and tall and cute. Okay.
So put that into the ether. So Vulture had an article that is called 15 Essential Horror Films Starring People of Color.
Ooh, I bet Candyman's on the list.
Yep.
They should redo Candyman.
Did we do a review of Candyman?
We didn't. And actually, maybe we should. I've never seen it, actually. I'm scared thinking
think
about
I've
it.
I don't think I've seen it.
Ooh, Aneke, maybe that's what
we need
could
do. We need to do that.
Okay. It might be coming at you.
Put a pin in that for a future date.
Okay. Ooh, I'm scared.
We're not... Okay, so we're not there yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through this list. I love movies. I've seen some of these movies, so I'll give my own tidbits. And if I don't have my tidbits, I'll read whatever Vulture wrote.
Okay.
So this is just good for you guys. It's the winter. It's the cold months.
Ooh.
It's the boring winter. It's not the fun Christmas winter.
So it's the boring side of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you, like, we get snowed in. Like, over here in New York, it's cold as fuck. And you're like,
exactly.
I don't want to go outside. So cuddle up with some black horror movies.
This is, like, a perfect way to bone down with someone if you want to bone
Very
down.
True. Ooh, can I make a prediction? Is,
yes.
Leprechaun Goes to the Hood, is that on the list?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Okay.
So there's some interesting ones on here. So the first one I highly suggest, and I actually fell in love with when I was going to UC Santa Cruz, and I took a horror movie class, horror films class.
Oh yeah, I think I took it and then I dropped it, but yeah.
I loved it, but also I did not love that you had to go watch the movies at night.
Oh yeah, I know.
And then I had to walk through scary ass campus.
We went to school. Caveat: paint the picture for you. We went to school in the fucking forest. UC Santa Cruz is 50% woodland, like in woods and fields, and like you have to walk through the forest to get to class. Aneke, in fact, got chased by a deer once on the way to theater rehearsal.
A rude ass buck.
It was a mom. Yeah, don't fuck with them.
And also to paint a further picture, dimly lit forest. I don't know how
yeah.
it is now, but
Santa
they had
Cruz
just
was,
like barely some lights walking in there.
It
was
like
spooky.
They
as
were
hell.
Like, you know, it'll be fun. We spook the students and make them feel like they're always in a horror movie. And there's always some owl
rustling ass shit while you're walking through redwoods.
And then something jumps out. It's just some crazy hippie on LSD. You're like, oh, okay, thank God.
I'll take that. So. One of the movies that we watched, and I love this movie because of the context of it is Night of the Living Dead. So a lot of people think of Night of the Living Dead as just like, ooh, it's a zombie movie, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the context that I love about the first movie, and also the rest of them, there's other, you know, Living Dead series by Romero, George A. Romero.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a subtext of a social issue.
Yeah, they do.
So Night of the Living Dead definitely was based within racism. And a lot of the conflict that was happening, it was done in 1968, time of major conflict. And it was one of the first zombie movies that was in America that came out that wasn't about voodoo zombies. So zombie is based off of a thing in voodoo, which is a hybrid of African religions and Christianity. Or Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think like, ooh, voodoo, spooky, whatever. No, it's a hybrid.
Yeah.
It's basically just what happens when you try to colonize slaves. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? All religion has spooky things to it, so
it's true. So a lot of the times the voodoo movies that happened prior to Night of the Living Dead were black people.
Mm.
There was even one movie called White Zombie where it was so weird that a white person became a zombie.
Oh.
But Night of the Living Dead flipped it on its head where the protagonist is a black guy. And he his name is Dwayne Jones. And he was the hero of the movie, which is crazy at the time, 1968.
Yeah.
That never
yeah.
happens. I think he ended up hitting a white woman, which was crazy at the time, too, which doesn't make any
right.
sense.
Just breaking all kinds of boundaries.
I know. It's wild. But one of the biggest impacts of the movie, spoiler, sorry, it's 1968.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm just kidding.
They used footage at the end that mirrors the riots that were going on against black people where the police were going after zombies.
Wow.
So George Romero actually kind of used that to, parallel those images. And I believe Dwayne Jones gets mistaken for a zombie and is killed. So it's kind of one of those racial context, you know. So it's a lot of layers, and it's a really good movie. That's a horror movie, and it's fluff. And a lot of people think on the top layer, like, oh, it's just a zombie movie, whatever. No, there's a lot of subtext to Night of the Living Dead that I think that people need to discover further.
And I would say probably all of George A. Romero's series, because I remember even watching his remake 2004, Dawn of the Dead. It was a big discussion because in that one, it was a black man who was a leader of the zombies. The zombies were learning how to like communicate to each other. And there was a lot of conversation that was happening about what a big deal that was, that it was a black man who was leading these like zombies.
Exactly. Like George A. Romero did a lot of, he did a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah, because there's a scene where they essentially like, it was about him like crushing consumerism because there was all these like rich, fancy people, and the zombies just came in and like crushed it and murdered all of them.
Yeah, he was really anti-consumerism. One of the Living Deads that came out in the 70s takes place in a mall and is all about consumerism. It's interesting stuff. Yeah. I like that. Okay, so the next one is called Ganja and Hess.
Okay, not heard of this one. I like how they reel you in with one that you know, and then they're like, and that was sleeper hit.
Here's a weirdo one. It was 1973, and since I don't know about this one, I'm just going to go ahead and read what they wrote. So it goes, Ganja and Hess is a brilliant, sensuous, dynamic masterpiece that is a hard to classify as it is unforgettable. Written and directed by Bill Gunn, it stars the magnetic Dwayne Jones, who was in Night of the Living Dead.
He just had a genre.
Yeah. He's an anthropologist and becomes a vampire after
Bill
his unraveling.
Gunn also looks really good shirtless.
He's a handsome man. Strong brow. Mm-hmm. So he becomes a vampire who gets accidentally stabbed by an ancient dagger. His wife, whose name is Ganja, goes looking for her husband. She ends up falling for Hess and joining him in vampirism. So, sounds like a little bit of blaxploitation.
Well, you know, as long as the shirt's off, I'm there for it.
Wow. We know where your priorities
are. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Why is her name got to be Ganja? Anyways, next one.
What'd she do?
I was terrified of this movie. I never saw this movie, but I remember the commercials, and I don't think I want to see it because I'm still scared from the commercials.
I'm scared right now, and you're not even saying anything.
The People Under the Stairs.
Ooh, those people were under the stairs.
1991.
Stephen King.
No, Wes Craven.
Oh, even worse. Even worse. You know what? I never saw a commercial, or I just heard about it and I was like, that's scary enough for me. Just the people, they're under the stairs.
No thanks. But basically, the movie centers around a black family, which is kind of cool.
Were they under the stairs?
No, they're the ones above the stairs.
Ooh, good for them. Finally, the tables have turned.
But, you know, the shit's going against them. So, so basically, begins by detailing the grim life of Poindexter Fool Williams.
Oh, no.
It's understandable that you may be expecting the film to be a hard-edged horror movie steeped in the tangled dynamic of gentrification, race, and family trauma. Ooh, interesting. You wouldn't be entirely wrong, but the Wes Craven story takes an arch satirical tone after its opening scene, in which Fool's family learns that they are being evicted from the Los Angeles project by their landlords. Okay. So once Fool gets roped into the scheme by, Ving Rhames is in this,
Break
into the house. So basically, shit just gets crazy, and there's all sorts of scary shit that happens, like cannibalism, incest, a gimp suit, teenagers living under a dungeon-like basement.
This sounds like an American Horror Story season.
Yeah, I don't need to see this. But I like that it centers around a black family.
Yeah, good job, Wes Craven. See, Wes Craven, he liked black people.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah, because remember, Wes Craven also directed Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh, he did? Oh, that's right! The 90s in Wes Craven was a black-ass time.
Interesting journey.
Candyman, 1992.
See, called it. And I bet Candyman 2 and 3 are on this list, too, somewhere.
It's a long list. I feel like we've talked a lot about Candyman.
Yeah, it was at previous episodes. And we'll probably end up talking about it again because we're probably going to do a movie review for it.
So just know that Candyman's on the horizon.
And it's got a really good cultural plot.
Mm-hmm. Slavery, mm-hmm. haunting,
mm-hmm. good torture. Old classics. American
terrifying.
Classics.
Yes, stop it.
True American Horror Story.
Okay, so this one, 1995, stars a young Jada Pinkett.
Oh, I know what it is. Tales from the Crypt.
Yes, Hattie, are you looking at
Demon Knights? Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knights. I am not, because this is my movie. I watched this movie. I was obsessed with this movie.
What?
This movie was terrifying, and it was legendary because I'll take the reins for this one. It's legendary because it is a black female protagonist in this horror movie. Spoiler alert, she survives. She killed.
Yes.
There's all these demons and stuff, and I think they're vampires, and they're all like stuck in this like warehouse house thing or whatnot, and she.
Oh.
It's like one by one, the people are getting like picked off that she's like with. And Jada Pinkett had like her like signature, you know,
short cut hair,
and just was like so badass. Cause I remember Jada Pinkett from A Different World. She joined like the later seasons. And here she was like kicking ass. And it just, I hadn't seen it before. I think I watched this and then Vanessa Williams in Eraser. And I was like, black women are doing shit.
Know this. This is like back to that one time when you knew the gargoyles.
Oh yeah, what's her name? She played Elisa Mazza.
Random.
Who was who was directing on? I knew exactly where you were saying.
Yeah, you
what
did.
This was.
And you know
you
what?
You said 1995, and I was like Jada Pinkett Smith and Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knights.
I know. I can't believe you know that. Well, it has my guy Billy Zane in it. Who?
Oh yeah, he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he
looking
is
good.
In it. He's looking good in that. I highly recommend it. It is such a good. That is a typical blockbuster rental. Right where I used to get where I would go for after school, my friend's house. Like they had like HBO and Skinemax, and like we would like it'd be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd be trying to watch it, and before the parents got home, it was scary too.
Well, just moving on real quickly. Because I don't want to take up too much time, but we got Blade in here. I don't know if Blade counts as a horror movie.
The first one is kind of spooky.
It's like an action movie, right?
But the first one has had some horror elements to it.
It's because of vampires.
The plot is crazy. It has like a non-Robin Givens as the romantic lead. Like it should have went to Robin Givens, but like was she busy or something? Because she was still hot in the 90s.
She still looks good now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean like hot as in like, no, I was talking about her looks.
Oh,
I meant
like
her
she's
career.
Like. Oh.
I wasn't being that guy. Let's judge her on her looks. Why wasn't she getting cash? She wasn't hot.
I don't know.
Oh God.
Okay. Well, let's just see. I'm trying
to
find.
His body looks good in that one.
Who? Wesley Snipes.
He'd be looking good. Okay. Yeah, it was Nebusha Wright. Yep, no Robin Givens. Mm. She played Karen.
Ooh, okay. Mm. Well, the last one that I'm going to say is from 2017.
Get out.
Just to give you guys... No.
Is it Get Out? No.
No.
What happened to that? Medea's... Is it Medea's boo? Is
okay,
it,
no. Yeah, we like, are not even... Go away with your Medea business.
You were like, literally, get out.
Get out. No, it's called Tragedy Girls. So I wanted to give you guys something that you've never really heard about.
Mm.
That came out pretty recently. So this movie, I like this movie because I call it the meeting of the X-Men characters.
Ooh.
So basically, through horror filmmaking, have sought to mine the particulars of female adolescence for decades with the works of Ginger Snaps, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Jennifer's Body, and The Craft. But these stories have always been blindingly white, with the few characters of color, even when they're meant to be important main figures like Rachel True's character in The Craft, getting little development or focus compared to their white compatriots if they are in these stories at all, which is so true.
Yeah, Kendra got killed very early on. Kendra the Vampire Slayer, played by Bianca Lawson, a.k.a.
Yes.
Beyonce's stepsister.
I know you bring this up a lot and it's so true. AKA the woman who never ages. Like
she just doesn't. You
she
look
looks
her,
amazing.
She's in Queen Sugar and you're just like, but she's
how
still
old
12.
Are you?
Yeah.
I know.
But you know, she's got range because she's playing like a recovering addict.
I love it. Okay, so Tragedy Girls isn't trying to impart grand lessons about adolescence of young girls. It is merely trying to thrill you with a garish, colorful tale about two high school seniors. Michaela Hopper, who is played by Alexandra Shipp, who is Storm.
Oh.
Current Storm.
Yep, you're right.
And Sadie Cunningham, who is played by Brianna Hildebrand, who is from the Deadpool movies. What's her face?
Oh,
the Sonic Teen.
She plays
Boom.
Nagasonic Teenage Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the two X-Men coming together in this
right.
movie.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the cutest sociopaths ever to put on film, who are hyper obsessed with gaining a major social media presence for the true crime blog, also named Tragedy Girls, to the point that they start endangering the violence that they are writing about. Engendering the violence that they are writing about. It's a potent, exhilarating gut punch of a film tracing the contours of a toxic friendship and young girls' abilities to match the violence of the world around them. So I wanted to end on that one because it's a movie that came out recently. It has two up-and-coming, awesome young women who are starring in this, and also they're in the X-Men universe, which
yeah,
is awesome.
Are. Yeah.
And I feel like this is a good, like, fun Saturday night movie that you can watch with some friends and enjoy.
Oh my,
have some fun.
This whole list, it's very invigorating. And it's reminded me that, like, oh, not only do we actually exist in this movie genre, but we also can exist and also not be the first one murdered.
Yes, we can thrive and be the star of it.
Yeah. Mm, yes.
Who would have thought?
Well, I want to take this horror, you know, this corner was so scary, and I want to take it, and, you know, the election cycle is coming up, and it could also be equally scary, but I want to give you some tips on how to make election cycle 2020 not so scary.
Yes, let's do it.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation.
Together, we host a podcast called
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and
yes.
We also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at Maximum Fund. .org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
It's wartime.
Elections. Cycle 2020. We're not gonna murder each other this time.
I hope not. Shit.
Well, if your day was any predilection of what might happen, it's possible, which means my tips are coming in at the right time.
Yes, they are. Neke needs them.
It's for, so, you know, because I saw this thing happening on my Facebook, and I was like, whoa, I don't want to go down this road again.
No.
Like, there's friends that, like, I felt like during the whole entire Hillary Bernie thing, like, I felt like
oh, my God,
I
shit
lost,
got crazy.
I lost friends for a few months. There was a friend.
You lost friends?
Well, like, they took breaks from, we took breaks from each other. It was like, I had a friend of mine who she's like, she had, like, not blocked me, but you can, like, unfollow a person or something for a period of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, things like that happen, and things just got really heated, and I am all for it, and I'm not all for it. I was also a part of that, you know, heated thing, and I just...
Yeah.
I don't want to go down that road again.
We literally cannot. We didn't know what the future held for us.
We didn't. So it's like...
Now we do.
We do. But here's the thing is that, like, I'm already seeing that I don't think that enough of us have learned what we needed to really learn. So,
yes.
I'm going to, you know, I said this before. I think it's so exciting. Like, there are some people who are like, oh, I think it's so exciting that we're going to have probably like 16 people running for president. And there are some people who are like, oh, like, you know, that's going to be too many. And look what happened to the Republicans. I'm like, yeah, they won when they had like,
yeah, exactly.
They won. So, and I think it's a great thing because I think the more people you have on a debate stage, it just gets more ideas out there. Yes. It gets more people engaged into the process. It actually, it's more, you know, we love our entertainment. It's more entertaining. It's mm-hmm. like a reality TV show at that point, because different people get knocked off at different points. And
right.
it forces people to have to adopt the opinions and ideas of other people who drop out of the race, because they want
Ooh, I like that.
To pick up their opponent's constituents. So yes. they're gonna have to adopt their policies. So I think one of the problems we had last time is that there was just too few people on the stage, and there was just two on the Democratic side. And I think that, right. that actually hurt us in the long run, because it just yeah. became too polarizing from the get-go.
We need to diversify our political party.
Yeah. And so I think we should all be excited by every person that's coming out.
Yes.
And take a, like, no one's voting yet. So put your,
don't dismiss yet. Yeah. Shit. Like,
put your votes down. No one, the ballots aren't set yet. So calm down.
You can put your pen down.
Put it down, because it's not election
unless
time.
You want to take some notes.
Take some, oh yeah. Pick it back up for notes. Put it down for voting. Right. Pick it up for
Put
notes.
Put it up for notes.
So number one, I have number one, give gratitude mm-hmm. first and foremost. Start mm-hmm. there, because we get mm-hmm. to have elections. So this is phenomenal. Yes. We're living in a country where we get to have this. This is not like, it's a gift. It is actually a privilege in this world that we get to have a free election that everyone is, for the most part, is able to participate from. And that we have four women who have already stated that they're running, and no one's laughing at them. And,
amazing.
And you know what? One nope. of them is actually crazy. The woman from Hawaii, she is crazy. You know what? That's a great thing. And you know what's great? It's great that we get to have one crazy lady as well, because you know what? She doesn't have to be the one woman holding up the burden of representing all right. women. We've come a long way. We get to have a crazy lady and be like,
yes.
I don't like her. And it's not because she's a woman.
Wait, how
it's not
because she's crazy?
A woman. It's because she's
what
crazy.
Does she do?
I think Tulsi, she's from Hawaii. She's anti, like, LGBT. Like, she's just...
No!
Yeah, but that's great. Like, yay, progress. Crazy woman. And,
diversity.
You know, not all women have to be, you know, everything. She gets to be crazy. So, this is great.
Also, I'd like to point out that this can easily be taken away from us. Look at China. The president just basically became a dictator by getting rid of term
right.
limits.
And
so... gratitude.
Absolutely,
right now.
Gratitude, and that kind of will segue into one of my other points later on. But also, just like the importance of this election is so important. Like, you know, again, Michael Moore said that this could be our last election. I don't say that to terrify you, unless it's going to light a fire under your butt. I say it to light a fire under your butt that, like, this is yes. our now job. This is our job again. We got a little after the 2018 mm-hmm. midterm elections. We had the holidays. We've taken a break, and now we're back in it. Back in the game. Mm-hmm.
It's 2019. It's time to tuck in and do the work.
It's not tucking in. It's not just for drag queens. Number two.
You could, yeah. Tuck
your
notes.
Into your pants.
Trinity, the yes. tuck your notes.
Number two, breathe, meditate. I say this like, because you've got a long road ahead of yourself, and you need to be in a clear mm-hmm. state. This is going to help folks being yeah. in a reactionary state. You know, have systems in place for yourself when you feel yourself being sort of triggered. Like, triggering isn't necessarily like we're all going to get triggered, but it's how we sort of push through it. And we don't want to mm-hmm. shelter ourselves.
I should have been breathing
and
earlier.
Taking, you know what? And that's it'll be maybe sometimes it's like when you feel it, like you'll walk away, or you know, do 10 breaths mm-hmm. before you're going to take a pose. Practicing a breathing technique. Have a charm bracelet that you look at that reminds you of like, okay, I you know.
Oh. Accessorize. I like this. I like a meditative accessory.
A little political, you know, accessory that reminds you, you know, having yeah. a mantra that when you hear someone saying something that's causing you to react, that wanting to react, you know, remind yourself, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's I am an agent of love and equality. I am an agent mm-hmm. of love and equality, or whatever it is for you. And because mm-hmm. it's a long road ahead of ourselves, and we can't afford for y'all just popping off and getting all crazy. Okay. It's a long right. road ahead, and we actually, like, we are addicted to, like, drama and problems. Like, it can seem like we constantly need to be in this state, and the more that we do that, right. our brain is just going to wire those reactions faster and faster and faster and faster, and we're still mm-hmm. healing from what happened, you know,
back in 2016,
2015. 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so those reactions are still kind of there. So know when you're being triggered and figure out what are your go-tos to help you in it. So breathe, meditate, whatever you need to do.
I love
Number it. Three, make a list of what your top values, policies, fears, and dreams are. So,
oh, I love that. That's
that
great.
That way you know exactly is because I think we all have bias. So we might just be like, oh, mm-hmm. I like that person already. Now, you don't actually know, you might know them as a senator, but you don't know them as someone running for president. It's a different ballgame.
Exactly.
And it's a different
Ooh,
conversation.
That's good.
So what we all need yes. to do, even someone that you think that you like and is your forerunner, you don't know them as a presidential candidate. So
you don't know. Their policies change.
Their policies change. They might change. And you don't know. So what I say, before you even listen to anybody else out and about, what are you about? That way you know.
Yes.
So what is that you are looking for? Like, what are your top three policies that you want to see get enacted? What are your things that you value? What are things that you are afraid that the country is moving into? And that way you have that. And then you can make a spreadsheet if you want. And you can mm-hmm. rate the different candidates as you go along for where they sort of stand. And you might be surprised that it's not the candidate that you thought, or maybe it is, but at least you'll know what it is that you're really going for.
I love it.
Yeah. Also, number four, listening. I think it's something that we all just really need to really focus in on doing this season. Probably
yes.
really practice doing a lot more listening than talking.
I feel like that's a good practice for just life.
But I think exercising that. I mean, it's hard for us because we're podcast hosts and you're trying to listen, but you're listening to us, and then we'll listen to other people. People too.
Yes.
But right now we're doing our job, and our job is to talk. You're not waiting for us to listen to us listening.
You tuned into us, so that would be dead air time.
I hear them. I'm listening to them listen.
Just us breathing. Listening.
Exactly. Like, I have honestly no idea who I'm going to vote for, and I'm going to be honest,
right.
neither should you. And not you,
right.
but like the listeners, like
the
everybody.
Hypothetical. I mean, you could say
but
me.
You too, Aneke. You
it's true.
Know.
I don't know.
If you got Aneke, if you were decorated in buttons and banners already, I'd be like, but what? You don't even know. There hasn't been like a
unless you're like related to a person,
then you
and
should,
you really
yeah.
want, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
but even then, like, I don't know. I'd be like, I don't know, husband. I need to see what you're about.
Stop it.
And then he's like, let me take you into the bedroom. I'm like, okay, you got my vote. Sorry, this is
you're
my
easy to sway.
Yeah, to see that
you are easy to sway.
My future political hubbo. So here's the thing, the candidates, they're gonna, like we talked about this earlier, they're gonna grow, they're gonna falter,
yes.
things are gonna happen. So, we should all at the end of the day be just wanting the best candidate that is going to be fighting for us to move forward and for equality. And we don't know who that's going to be. We have no idea.
No idea.
I do want to say this because, you know, I think this is take a drink every time I say The View. So when Kamala Harris was on The View,
be wasted.
She had said they were like, oh, are you gonna run? And she was like, oh, I'm, you know, happy to announce that I'm not ready yet to announce. And a lot of candidates do this. And I think part of it too is what they are doing is when they say that it's a big decision and I'm waiting for my family to all, you know, come together and make the decision together, because they have mm-hmm. to probably go back and vet themselves too. They
yes.
probably pay like an Olivia Pope person and they say, find
yes.
everything. Because again,
yes.
it's different at a national level. Oh my
so
goodness.
So much different. Are you kidding me?
They're like comb through like every one of my family members, comb through every post, every everything. So...
And even things come out after that.
That
like,
they thought they had dug through and vetted. Yeah. So, you know, it's a long journey ahead. We have no idea. So make sure you're just listening.
I love that. It's like, I mean, people come into college. This is a little bit sidetracked,
but
come into college declaring their major halfway through college. They change their major and they had to figure it out. It's always best to go into college just
fresh,
kind of being like,
mind.
Let me see. Let me take some classes. Let me understand. Think of this primary as a way to take some classes and some candidates.
Yeah, you're going to be just learning about a lot of policies and things, policies that you didn't even know were possible. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I really like that that's what they're going for. So being open to it, you know, that's going to be really important to us. So listening, your job is to listen.
I love
Curb
it.
Curb your reactions. So social media can be a beautiful hellscape. So
like tell I me said about
earlier,
it.
Take a breath, a beat, pause before you type anything. Like, walk away, come back to it. And remember, on the other side, that is your friend, your auntie, your grandma, or you don't know them. So,
or like, stranger.
A stranger.
That so, you have a common friend in.
Be mindful, yeah. And then your friend is in the middle of this, like, but what? Like, I don't even really know this other person. Like, what is happening?
Yes.
And people are also, be mindful too, as people are also processing information too. So if you see someone reacting in quite a hostile way, like, you don't have to also engage. You can kind of see what also is going on behind them. Like, it's just a lot of information that we're all kind of processing all at the same time. So
yep.
Be mindful, because crazy doesn't need to meet more crazy.
It's true. I mean, during my trolling Twitter fit or Facebook fit that happened, he didn't know what I had been going through the night before and what I saw before.
No idea.
I mean, I am going back again to just taking a breath, seeing something, and moving on with my life. Yep.
This kind of reminds me of something that, you know, Marianne Williamson, this is not an endorsement, although she's running for president. She talks about how she says, you know, imagine the worst trauma or experience that you have had. And that person that you're looking at so angrily, imagine that they've been through what you've gone through, if not worse. Like, we've all been through shit. And I think we need to come together with more empathetic eyes and sort of say, okay, I'm going to give this person, they're probably having a really terrible day or something, or this has nothing to do with me. And that also be mindful of who you're posting to. Like, if you are posting to like a black woman or a trans person or something, like, curb how it is that you're saying things to people, especially when you're on the internet. Like, we can't read your facial reaction. Doesn't know you that well. They don't know that you're being sarcastic. And so just be mindful of what the other person is, maybe their life experience. Imagine that they've gone through the worst, and then write your response. That might change how you're reacting to them.
All the snaps.
Be engaged. We don't get to be exhausted by the time the election comes around. This is like our job. This could be our last one. So watch debates, make it a party, talk about it amongst your family, your friends,
healthy,
young people who are voting.
Peaceful having discussions.
Yeah. And just kind of making sure that like we're being aware of the issues and stuff. Like last time people were like, oh, I was so exhausted by it. Like, we just pretend this could be the last election, because it couldn't be.
Yeah.
So number six was be engaged, but number seven, take breaks. Decide what your internet usage is going to be. Maybe decide, you know, no social media an hour before bed. Maybe you're gonna take Sundays off. Give yourself like a Sunday respite. Like, you know,
I mean, outside of politics, it's good, because some people be posting images, BBC, that you don't need to see.
That we don't need to see. So like, give yourself an hour before bed, no social media, no any of that. Because again, we need you in a healthy state. Or even maybe say like, all right, I'm gonna take a week off. Whatever it is that you need to do, but do take breaks, because this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Hello.
Let me just run through these last few real quick. Find an artistic expression. This was the fun one that I just added. Like, maybe like you're gonna have a lot of like angst, so maybe channel that into something, you know, paint or write or do some comedy. You know, life
angry
is meant
comedy.
To be I find that like when there's something that's been really bothering me lately, I've been going to my comedy notebook and writing. It's been so therapeutic to write a comedy sketch out of it or something, you know,
divert that energy towards something else.
Something else. Life is meant to be enjoyed, people. Number nine, get involved. If you're feeling a candidate, then get involved. It's so easy, especially at the primary level. They need your help.
Donate.
And if you find a candidate that you're like really into, like, you can go to their campaign office. Phone banking parties are so easy to be able to do. You can do it with your friends. And you're going to feel like you're getting involved and having a bit of a stake in it as well. And
the more people that just get involved, it's going to be a beautiful ripple effect, because we just need mass of people being excited about this election, being involved into our electoral process, so that mm-hmm. when we come to the vote in 2020 against Trump, like, we're about something.
I love it. See what happened in 2018? Let's mimic that.
Mimic that. Yeah. Take it even. We need it even more, because there's something crazy. Like, we can't win by like 51%. We, because of gerrymandering, we have to win by like 70%.
It's rigged. Gerrymandering.
It's rigged against us.
Oh, God.
Two more points.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of your echo chamber. I would recommend finding a conservative viewpoint you can tolerate, just to check in with, because they're also going to be kicking the tires at all of these Democratic opponents, and they might be pointing out things that you maybe wouldn't have heard. Mm. And I've actually found this really helpful. I do not agree with what Meghan McCain says 90% of the time, but yeah. I can tolerate hearing what she says, and it does a few things. It helps me get out of my echo chamber. Mm. Sometimes it allows me to see the weak where my arguments or my points or my view, where there's holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's able to sort of point those out, and she's very honest. She's like, well, this is what we're seeing on this side. I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Now I get it.
You have a good
point. Also allows me to empathize with another view and just see this other human, and allows me to sort of see where it is they're coming from. So find one that you can sort of tolerate. There are like one or two mm-hmm. people on Fox News that like aren't so terrible. I think Shepard Smith sometimes calls some stuff out, but it's uh-huh. important for us so that we're not so judgmental about like the other side, that there is a human on the other side, and it's just going to help you out in the long run. In fact, people like Shepard Smith, they've been launching their 24-hour new like streaming service
uh-huh.
against the two Fox News anchors who call out bullshit against like Trump and the administration. That's when they've launched Fox Nation now.
Oh.
And it only airs when those people are airing. Isn't that crazy?
Interesting.
Yeah. So those are the ones to look at.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I think that this is probably going to be one of the hardest ones for people to do, but also one of the most crucial for people to do. I for a fact know that it will challenge me, but I will push myself to look on the other side.
Yeah, just take a little peek, and then you can see it, and mm-hmm. then, okay, you did your civic duty. You're trying. That's why, like, I like Meghan McCain. She gives me my scapegoat. I'm like, well, I'm listening to her, and I'm not gouging out my eyeballs. Okay, number 11, remember love. We all, at the end of the day, really, there's so much more that unites us than divides us.
Mm-hmm.
We all want a beautiful life, a work, safe communities, rights. And we may not always agree, but it's really important for us to be able to listen to each
yes.
other and just remember there's a human on the other side, and to be able
so
to
true.
Always find our way back to love. And you know, you're not always going to get what it is that you want. Your team does not always win, even in politics, and
right.
that's life.
Yep.
But you sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and it's about how we can ultimately come together to form the best, you know, country and world and planet that we possibly can. So I think if we can kind of let that be our guide, then, you know, we won't repeat what happened last time.
That was excellent, James. That
and
uplifted me.
And if all that fails, sass him with kindness. That's what I've been doing. Just turn up that sass on him, and people are just like, okay, I take what you say. And you can't be mad at sass. Sass him with kindness. Yeah.
Oh, that was good, James. Thank you so much. I feel like that was the cool drink of water that I needed after my relapse.
You went
into
through a day.
Trolling.
It's almost like I made this corner. It's almost like I just sat down with you and I was just like, all right, Aneke, here's what you should do for 2020.
I know. It's like you knew. Psychic. It's been
I got
brewing.
That sight.
It's been
it's
brewing
not just
in
Raven.
Me. But that was good. That made me feel relieved, and I feel like a lot of people are going to get a lot out of that, because holy shit, the streets are tough.
The streets are tough, but we're going to sass them with kindness and love. We done did it. I know we literally just said we're just going to close out the episode, but I just want to throw two things at you, then we can go.
What?
She's like, let's close it out. I'm like, mm-hmm. All right, real quick. In honor of MLK, I don't know if you knew this,
yes.
but the time that he died, his approval uh-huh. ratings were 75% of the country did not approve of Martin Luther King Jr. when he died.
racist ass fucking country.
It's just interesting to look at, like, everyone's like, ooh, Martin Luther King. No, I just wanted to throw that out. You know, people look at things with such rose-colored glasses, but, like, and the amazing work that he did, and, like, I just think, like, he probably would have been our first black president already, so I want to just give
this... He died really young, too. That's a lot of things that people don't know.
Yeah, and he was actually moving into fighting economics. He wasn't just moving in from the South and doing, like, racial segregation stuff. His conversations were actually going to be uniting. It was more of an economics thing, kind of what Bernie Sanders talks about. But just, like...
Exactly.
And that's the thing that makes all these, you know, rich people really nervous. When we start banding together and we realize that there, again, isn't so much that divides us and it's actually the economics and the capitalism of it. That's when people, that's when they're like,
gotta thwart that, so. And also, no, I'm glad that you brought that up.
And congrats to Spike Lee for getting his first directing Oscar nomination.
Yes!
Which is insane, he's been in the business for so long, but congrats to Spike Lee.
I know, I mean, it's crazy. Spike Lee has been making movies that have been successful, notable, beloved for years.
Yep, yeah. And I will, and I think that they 5 years ago had a push to, in like 30% of the demographic of like the Oscar people who vote has changed, and it's making a difference, I would say. Like the fact that Black Panther got nominated for Best Oscar, it's huge.
It's huge, and it just goes to show that diversity opens the door wider for all of us.
For all. Diversity for all. Well, those are the two things I wanted to sneak in. That's it. I just wanted to make sure we covered all of our bases.
We covered every single base that needed to be covered.
And like Amelia Bedelia, we stole it, and we're taking it home.
She stole shit? What?
Oh, yeah. My favorite Amelia Bedelia book was when she was playing baseball. And they were steal the base. Steal the base. And she stole it. And they're like, run home. And then she ran home with all the bases.
Amelia Bedelia.
Favorite Amelia Bedelia story.
She is a treasure. A national treasure.
You know, it made me kind of, I just thought of Bandersnatch meets Amelia Bedelia. I would love to do like a choose your own Amelia Bedelia adventure. That would be fun.
It would just be a mess. She would just be a hot mess. It'd be a hot mess with Amelia Bedelia.
Are you going to put the pies in the oven? Your head? Or like...
She'd be like, what's an oven, my butt? She doesn't know. She's...
Oh, Bedelia.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tweet at us. Let us know what your favorite Amelia Bedelia story is.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear it. you can tweet at us at Minority Corner with a K.
Yes, we spell corner with a K.
Because we're fancy ass black beautiful princesses. We're your BAPs.
Else we got?
We got an email. You can email us minoritycorner@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook group. It's the Corner Kids Playground.
Don't be trolling. Just be conversating.
Don't be trolling. And if you're confused on what to do, just review the rules from this episode.
Yeah, James just broke it down. Just broke it down. Go through them.
Very
easy.
1 through 11. Yeah. Well, have a great, fabulous week, y'all. Thank you to Woody, our editor. Big shout out.
Oh my God. And, thank you, Woody.
To Brownout,
who does our music.
Thank you so much. And thank you to you, Aneke. I had such a great time hanging out with you.
Yeah, thank you to you, James. We're back in the habit. We're doing this shit from across the country.
Yes, we are. New year, new us. And here we go. Have a great week, y'all. We love you. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're the majority.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.